Behavioral Health Integrations podcast strives to inspire the next generation of mental health and addiction specialists. Our aim is to continue to raise awareness and encourage collaboration in the mental health and addiction industry so that it will continue to thrive. There are numerous approaches to treating mental health and substance abuse issues. On this show, we take pleasure in showcasing the diversity of these approaches used to improve the lives of others. So without further ado, your host, Jacob Minnig.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me for another awesome and amazing Behavior Health Integration show. Today, we have a very special guest, Nick Narrell. Nick is the CEO and co-founder at Haley. Haley is a mental health digital platform meant to aid individuals struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues. Nick will go into a deep dive on what his platform is about, how people can get access to it, as well as mental health clinicians. I'm super excited to get this show started. And without further ado, Nick Narrell.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
You know, it's always interesting just to meet different types of people in the field of mental health and addiction. What you really do in the social media field, the platforms, is just really inspiring. And again, I cannot wait to get the show started with you.
Yeah, thank you. No, appreciate that. And looking forward to the conversation.
So you don't really have an initial background in mental health or addiction, right? You got your degree in something else?
Correct. Yeah. So my undergraduate was in the business college, didn't really have much of a healthcare background until like my first real role out of college was at a telehealth company. And that was like my first foray into healthcare.
So telehealth. So is that just like one-on-one mental health therapy online?
So that company, we did not have any clinicians of our own. We were just the software platform. So we did everything from patients self-scheduling online, the digital forms leading up or during an appointment, appointment reminders, and then the actual video visit software itself. So we were selling to community mental health centers, FQHCs, health systems, payers. So I started out there as like your entry level salesperson doing the cold calling and cold emails. And by the time I left, I was working with your Fortune 100 payers, wow, health systems, helping them implement virtual care in the middle of the pandemic when they were kind of freaking out about how to navigate that.
It's funny, like the more people I talk to, like when their companies started just going online because of the COVID, they actually realized like their production rates were like going up. They were just working better from home for some reason. So a lot of them are actually sticking to that rather than going into the office.
Yeah, we saw actually some big players in the addiction space did a study on outcomes towards the first few months of the pandemic to compare virtual outcomes versus in-person. And they found the virtual outcomes were just as good as in-person. So that was like a big thing for this national organization to continue to invest in virtual care settings.
So I got to ask, did they ever give a reason why it was so beneficial doing it online from the client's point of view?
So that specific organization was groups. Okay. So the company did a lot of like innovation to get ready for them like as fast as they could once the pandemic hit, because group telehealth was not that big before the pandemic. Yeah. And there was a lot of technical barriers still with trying to do it in web browsers. And a lot of it is some of the things that you would expect with just the barriers to in-person care. I mean, things like people, you know, having to drive a few hours to a psychiatrist, or they have to drive to go to their group session every week. And especially once you get to people that have kids and like lives going on, if something happens with your kid, like that's going to take precedent over like, oh, I've got to go to my own appointment, or now I have to take my kid to something that they need. So virtual just provides much easier access to care when I can do it from my home.
Yeah, I guess like the only issue I could possibly see is maybe you have a client who does not have a laptop or a computer at home.
That one of the things that, you know, I really had to learn my first few years in telehealth was, you know, I grew up in a suburb of Baltimore, okay, a very like urban area in between basically Baltimore and DC. Went to school at the University of Tennessee, then in Northeast Ohio, like super urban, very connected areas. And I'm like, internet's not an issue. And then you get into telehealth, you start working with these mental health organizations that have clients out in like the rural Carolinas or out in the Dakotas, and there's just still areas of this country where even if you've got a laptop and all that piece, the infrastructure is just not there to where they couldn't even operate a video visit just with the bandwidth that they have.
So you're not with that company anymore, right? You moved on?
Correct. Yeah. So I moved on from them in June of 2021, moved on to another company that helped enterprise organizations with digital health procurement, and then started my own thing really back in like December, January of 2021, moving into 2022 is when we started Haley.
So getting to your Haley project, what initially motivated you to get that started?
Yeah. So it kind of goes back to college. When I was a freshman in college, I went in my freshman year, 17 years old, like very, very young for my grade, was still sending all the paperwork home to get my parents to sign it because I couldn't legally as a minor. And it was a big like culture adjustment. Like I was going to the University of Tennessee for track and field, and I was obsessed with that in high school. So like never went to parties, had never even like seen kids my age drink before, and getting to college, having that culture shock made me really socially anxious, like kind of isolated myself, didn't know how to adjust. So I was so afraid to really talk about these things. And I even tried talking to the like track coaches about like, I was thinking of transferring and I wanted to transfer because of these things. And like, kind of had it thrown back in my face. Like, who am I to like be upset about this stuff? And I was like, well, okay, I'm obviously not really wanted here. So I transferred to the University of Akron. And after a few months, realized like I wanted to focus on business, get out of track, but really lost my identity because pole vault and track was like my life for the past 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. And that made me socially anxious, which led to depression. And I think my finance class of my second year of college, I went to like 5 out of 30 classes. From like just being afraid, not really being afraid, but like almost like not even a desire to like get out of the house at that time. And I called our campus counseling center after some like friends and mentors encouraged me to, and they were like, hey, thanks for calling. We'll see you in 6 weeks. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, it's a 50 second walk for me to get to our counseling center. And they were like, yeah, we're just so busy. We don't have any appointments. So being like 19 years old at the time, didn't know what else to do, just waited the 6 weeks, eventually, you know, got there, did the PHQ-9, talked to a psychologist who was like, yeah, it seems like you have some social anxiety, you don't really see the depression. And I'm like a 19-year-old male, you know, grew up in a household with like government police parents, like totally afraid to talk about my feelings and emotions. So I wasn't sharing everything with the psychologist. And basically she gave me two options. We have weekly therapy that you can do, but you can't start that for 2 months because we're so busy and it's November. And so half of December, you have the holidays.
Wait a second. So first you had to wait how many weeks just to get there?
Like, yeah. So 6 weeks just to get to that intake appointment.
Plus
it was going to be 2 more months till I could actually start the therapy. So that was like option one. Now, the other thing that I was offered, which was supposed to be like a complement to the therapy, was medication. Mm-hmm. And the medication was offered at our student wellness center, where they actually had like a physician, a prescriber there. So I got an appointment with them like the same week as that intake appointment. And like that same day had a prescription for sertraline and like a generic version of Xanax. I had like 30 pills for that for like panic attacks. And so I got those like the same week, but I was so upset with that whole process. I never went to that therapy appointment. So I had 6 months of an SSRI, 30 Xanax, and never saw a clinician again. And so I had that whole like horrible experience. Then I found myself working in telehealth with mental health organizations and really liked like the connection into increasing access to care. And then back in October of 2021, my now fiance and I were in Denver visiting one of my really good buddies from college. And she came out of a work meeting in tears. Before the pandemic, she was in her dream job, got furloughed when the pandemic started. She's back there now, like thank goodness, but the job in between just wasn't that great of a fit. And so when she came out of this meeting in tears, she was in between therapy appointments. And it reminded me of my experience and just this gap. If you are in between appointments on a wait list or too hesitant to get care in the first place, yeah. especially that last one. And so we wanted to build some type of platform that helped those three areas. And the more we thought about it, the more we were like, well, honestly, like Instagram and TikTok is what is solving these areas. But like being a male in my 20s, like I also know if I watch a therapy video, I'm still getting an alcohol ad before 8 a.m. So like the environments are not conducive to any type of progress or getting you to resources in the next steps. So we wanted to take the great parts of like content distribution, online access to information, but bring it into a mental health safe environment.
So take me through platform in greater detail. Like, so let's say I get in there, I sign up. Do I initially say, okay, I type in kind of what I'm struggling with and they give me particular options of like counselors and therapists to see? Or how does that work?
So right now it's the website is just forhaley.com, forhaley.com. And it really operates like a search engine today. Well, one of the things that we noticed was the clinicians on our platform were making much higher quality content than what you're going to see on a TikTok or Instagram. You know, TikTok and Instagram are a lot of, you know, these four things mean you have ADHD. Whereas what we saw on our platform is like 4 to 10 minute presentations on how to deal with different life scenarios. And that was really what we were pushing for, was let's give context to situations. Let's make it situational where something happens, somebody needs content in that moment. And the kind of downside to that was because the content was high quality, it was only getting made by somebody, you know, once a week, or they were sitting down on a Friday afternoon, making two videos, uploading them, and they were going to do that again 2 or 3 weeks later. So to get the amount of content that we really needed to serve a lot of different potential searches, we pivoted into not only having content natively added to Haley, but external content from around the internet. So now we have about 1500 responses that can come up in the platform. If you type in anything from bipolar disorder, anxiety, or I was dumped, or I got fired from work, I'm burnt out. About 20% of the content has been stuff that has been uploaded directly to Haley. The rest of it has been things that we have curated from around the internet. So it might be one of the results is a YouTube video or a blog from a clinician or mental health practices website that was written by a clinician. So right now, it's very simple. When you get to it, you're going to see a search bar right away. You don't need an account or anything. You type what you need in the search bar, and then the results just come up with anything that content or clinicians. There is a tab you can move over to if you're specifically looking for a therapist, and you can filter through a ton of different things. But right now, really the best use case for it is to find content to help you in that moment. And now we're building onto an app to kind of add a bunch of stuff on top of the search engine.
Mm-hmm. No, man, I absolutely love what you're doing. And it kind of gets me into the mindset of like, okay, there could be particular people who are, let's say, old-fashioned. They're like, I hate this COVID. I hate this online stuff. I want to meet someone in person. But like you said, even in Minnesota, it takes months and months to see a therapist now, for the most part. It is absolutely brutal. So this is more like an additional lifeline where it's like, hey, I know you want to see someone, but here you go. Here's your outlet to at least learn some skills until you finally get your therapy appointment.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people have asked us, like, why don't we hire clinicians of our own, or are we ever thinking about going that route? And I always talk it about Haley as we are like the top of the funnel. Like, we should be thought of as just as top of the funnel as Google is. We're never going to be the care provider ourselves, and we don't want to be where somebody ends up. Like, if you go to google.com, your goal is normally to end up on some other website, whether it's a social media platform, whether you're watching a YouTube video or you're reading information, you're getting stats from ESPN, you're going somewhere else. That's really what we want to happen with Haley, is you come to Haley because you're looking for something. We've aggregated hopefully this high quality information, and then you end up with a professional resource that can help you more.
No, and I think you made an amazing point too earlier, where especially young individuals in college, you know, they're at a new campus for the first time. They're experiencing new things like partying, alcohol, and they may not feel comfortable expressing what's really going on with them, even with their peers.
Yeah.
So what your platform does is just gives people, again, that outlet where, okay, God, I'm afraid of my friends judging me on campus about my lack of knowledge on something or what I'm feeling. So you could just type in something on your, on Haley, and then it could just help you out in that regards.
Yeah. So I actually had a call with like a vice president of student affairs at a Division I university in the past couple of weeks. And October is actually their worst month for like campus counseling centers when it comes to the volume of intake requests that they get, where it's people, they get on campus, they're going through, they go through September and they're like, wow, this is not what I thought it would be. Or they feel lonely. They're away from their family for their first time. And October, they try to go to the counseling center. And for a lot of folks, sometimes it is peers. You know, I was on a track team, very like, kind of like macho environment. You all go to practice together for 3 to 4 hours a day to beat your bodies. And then to go talk to them about like your mental health doesn't always make for the easiest conversation, especially the younger guys, because you're trying to prove yourself to your coaches, your team, and NCAA coaches are incentivized to get performance, not to take care of human beings, unfortunately. And the other piece of it is the public school system, in a way, is a outlet for a lot of kids growing up. Home is not the safe space. Yeah. Their school is. And so now when you go to college and you reach this level of independence, you're not taken care of the same way you are in educational and, you know, K through 12. It's a much different story. And that's where, you know, the counseling center comes into play too, because they don't have the home life to go talk with their emotions and feelings.
Well, it's like a whole new like realm of reality for yourself, where it's just like, I have this newfound freedom that could be taken as a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, that's great, man. And regarding your future goals, you actually want to make this into an app, right?
Yeah, so we are in beta testing right now. We've got a few dozen testers that they've got kind of like version zero of the app. It's basically our search engine, some journaling capabilities, emotion tracking. And then we have a university MBA program that's using our app as their kind of like marketing project for the semester, where they're going to do some primary research on UX, UI. So we can figure out, you know, what's going to actually keep people engaged with this, engaged in self-care activities. How can we get people who are doing the things they should do on a daily or weekly basis, and then help them find the professional resources if and when the time comes. So the goal is, you know, to get the app as something that's more like daily and weekly self-care. Our search engine was never something that was designed to be used daily. Because if you are going to our search engine daily to read content from clinicians, you need another step of care, most likely. But things like journaling, writing what you're thankful for, looking at affirmations, tracking your emotions, that's stuff to help you learn more about yourself, learn what makes you, you know, in a better mood. And so by taking those activities, combining it with our engine, it makes Haley something that's much more useful in your day-to-day life.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Now, I'm just curious too, in your opinion, you know, there's like other like online apps regarding mental health and so forth. What would you explain to the average person the difference between your platform compared to other mental health platforms?
Yeah, so we are kind of going to be the mental health platform before you would look up a platform for mental health. Like we aren't necessarily branding as like a mental health app. Like in the app store, it's going to be like Haley Self-Care and Journal. Because there are so many companies right now that are doing amazing work on increasing access to care. And that's an issue we know we have across the country, especially when it comes to whether it's geographical or cost. But according to like the NIH, it's like 11 years from the onset of mental illness symptoms to reaching out for professional help. And the reason for those 11 years can be a lot of things. So our goal at Haley is to hopefully shrink that time, but also support people during that time. Mm-hmm. And so we are we are looking to be the app that you get first. And it helps you realize, oh, I need to go actually maybe download one of these things. And maybe it's, you know, one of the mental health service apps that we've reviewed, or maybe it's one of the more like clinical content apps like Beam or Koa or some of these like more almost like playlist type pieces of content that are designed by clinicians. So we're, again, more kind of like top of funnel, like the entryway or the gateway into the mental health space.
Absolutely, man. So I got to ask, you've accomplished so much right now. And what, in your point of view, like, was your like greatest moment of like happiness, you doing this project? Was there that moment where it's like, oh my God, I'm doing the right thing, I'm getting fulfillment? Because I can only imagine you're getting so much fulfillment in doing this.
I mean, founding a startup is like the ultimate way to find fulfillment. And it's also like the ultimate way to get really down on yourself. And like, you have like those weeks where things go really well, things are going really slow. And so one of the things that we've done from like day one of having a live platform is we've kept a Slack channel of the direct messages that our team gets of people like thanking us for creating this. And whether it's been like clinicians that have sent us notes, or like just like the last week, I had somebody direct message me on LinkedIn out of nowhere saying they spent 7 hours on Google trying to find an article to help them. And with a search on our platform, they were able to find 2 articles right away while they were sitting in an airport. And like to hear that, like, justification is not the right, but like that validation that like we are actually that much better at than Google at bringing this quality content in front of us. Like, all right, we're kind of on to something here if we're able to help that one person that much.
Well, it's results.
Yeah.
Those are, I can't imagine better results than that. Like, just all the time saved from that.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have, but I'm just going to pull up my Slack to see what else we've got in here. Some of it, we have people saying like, oh, I've shared this with my therapist. They were so excited to see something like this and share it with the rest of their clients. We've had a lot of like moms and dads reach out about like, hey, I have a kid like with a mental illness. Like, we didn't know what to do for so long. You know, seeing your platform talk about mental health, increase access to just resources and education has been great. We've even had clinicians just say, this is a great way to share content outside of social media, put it in a mental health safe space. So it's these like random comments that we get that definitely bring the most happiness.
I have to ask you, are your friends and family just very surprised in what you've done? I'm sure they're very proud of you.
You know, going out on a limb to start something and leave a job that pays really nicely, you get a lot of mixed reactions from friends and family. And again, you know, mental health is one of those topics that even among friends and family, it is a little awkward to have really direct conversations about. But you do have those kind of like friends here and there that are like very sincere and like, hey, this really helped me out. Or I actually had an old coworker say like, hey, my wife and I just spent an hour reading through some of the articles on your platform. Like, this stuff is great because we're super stressed. It's been awesome to have like that support from friends and family and be able to like not only impact like the strangers in my DMs on LinkedIn, but to impact people like I'm friends and family with.
Yeah. I'm just going on a limb here. Are you almost hesitant on like not adding so much like services? Cause I get the feeling of like simple is just better. Mm-hmm. And if you could just simplify things for people looking for help, it's gonna benefit them in so many ways.
So there's like a options paradox almost. Like if I were to ask my fiance, Haley, like, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? And we live in Orlando. There's 1,000 options. It's like your brain just freezes because there's so many potential places to go. But if I say, hey, do you want to go to option A or B? It's a much simpler decision to make. It's not like overwhelming your brain. And with mental health, there's been like $7 billion in VC funding poured into the market. So whatever you are looking for, there's probably some startup out there working on it. So we don't want to be another company that's like, great, you want, you know, talk therapy, you want meds, come to us. Like, no, there's people out there that are doing that. So if we can be the very simple gateway into helping you find that, that's kind of where we see our value and why we want to stay as simple as possible.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It really does, man. So as we're winding down, I just have to ask you, since you've done so much, what are your future goals? What do you hope for Haley, let's say in the next 5 to 10 years, or what do you hope for yourself for future projects?
Yeah. So, you know, the next big thing for us is going to be the app rollout. Mm-hmm. We think probably Q4 is going to be the time where that's actually public out in the app store. It'll be for iOS first. We really see partnering with clinicians as kind of our go-to-market strategy for that. And we want to build in features where it makes sense for almost like clinicians and their clients to use Haley together or find benefits from it together, especially if we have clients that, you know, they're doing 4 or 5 journaling sessions throughout the week. Then they go to therapy at the end of the week. Like, what are things that we can do in between there to make those journal entries more beneficial for the therapist? Because that therapist doesn't have time. If they've got a caseload of 20 patients, they're all sending them journal entries every week. They don't have time to read through how many tens of thousands of words that's going to be. So what can we do with technology to help out there? So the, you know, our goal with the app, increase daily active users, and then find ways that we can actually help the mental health professionals connect with the people on the app. And that's really our plan for Haley. It's not something that we're going to go after like a bunch of VC funding for now. My goal has always just been to create something that, again, it shortens that 11 years and hopefully supports people during it. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, like we're technically a for-profit Delaware corporation. Like I promise we've made zero money. I haven't paid myself in 8 months from working on this. It's just something that we want to make an impact in the space. And so, you know, we see ourselves doing Haley for a while, making this successful, but like, I'm going to be doing something else too. Like it's probably not going to be something that's going to, you know, ever have us retire. And so with the knowledge and things that we've learned from doing this and the partnerships that we have, I see us going on to doing something else where maybe it is going into helping organizations that are providing the services, because eventually people have to go to that next step. And maybe that's next for us is going to the organizations that are doing that or just finding other areas in healthcare innovation. There's so much in this space right now that can be done from a more consumer-oriented standpoint or from a more like financially ethical standpoint too. And we've, you know, that's been like our number one day one thing is like, this has to be like, nobody should be able to point at us and say there's something ethically missing here. And if we can take that same approach into other areas of especially mental health, like that's what we want to continue to do.
Well, even me as an addiction counselor, that platform would be so helpful because once my clients graduate, let's say after 2-3 months, they're out on their own. Yeah, we make them a relapse prevention plan, but this would be a great source of mental health or just something to put on the relapse prevention plan. Hey, if you're going through issues, here's this website you can go to. And yeah, I could just imagine it'd be so beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. That was our whole intention behind it, because like one of the things that our therapist told us from the beginning is like, well, once I'm done with a client, it's not like I'm ever going to tell them, hey, go to Instagram and TikTok if you need more mental health content. Mm-hmm. But now that we have it in this like mental health safe environment, like, oh yeah, like if you need content, if you have questions on stuff, go to Haley. Like, we know the stuff that's going to come up, it'll be safe. You can go in journal, do all the other stuff in there too. Yeah. That's our goal, is to make this something where we can really partner with mental health organizations on it, get it as a resource in front of clients. The journaling and the search engine's all free too. So it's not like it's going to be cost prohibitive.
Exactly. No, it's a beautiful thing, man. It really is. And I just have to ask you too, for my listeners, if my listeners do want to get a hold of you, is there a particular website or phone number they can call or use to make contact with you?
Yeah. So the best way is probably just emailing hello@forhaley.com. That's like one of our company emails where that's where all like our tech requests, feature requests and stuff go through. So I get all of those and review all those, make sure we're kind of listening to what product feedback we're getting. We are on like Instagram and Twitter at @forhaley4u. And then all my socials are just my name, Nick Narrell.
Excellent. Excellent. And for all my listeners, I will make sure I put those links on the show notes so you have them. So they'll be one click away.
Awesome.
Well, hey, Matt, I had so much fun with you today. Thank you so much for being an awesome guest. It was great.
Yeah, Jacob. No, this was a blast. Thanks for all the great questions. You know, glad we could spend the time today. It was great getting to meet you as well.
It truly was an honor. Thank you.
I again just want to thank Nick for another awesome and amazing BHI show. I also want to thank all my listeners for your support. It means a lot to me. I also want to inform everyone that the content expressed in this episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issues, please seek the care of a licensed medical doctor or a licensed mental health professional. All right, everyone, until next time, have a good day. Bye.